This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Ms. Noni Hazelhurst, in place of Mr. Pete Dillon.
I'm poivre tonight.
You are pepper.
French pepper.
I would have thought maybe you'd choose a more glamorous condiment.
Coriander?
Oh, God, I don't
salt
like
and coriander.
It. Salt and balsamic.
You like licorice. What about salt and licorice?
As you will be aware, you're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. It's just 6 minutes past seven of the evening. The beautiful Noni Hazelhurst has stepped into to save the day, because young Pete Dillon is at home with a hot towel on his head, feeling poorly.
Just for a change. Shout out to Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Pete. Get well soon, Dilly. We will miss you tonight. Thank you for joining us. You haven't joined us for a while because you've been off shooting a new show up in Sydney.
I have indeed, yes. A new drama for the Seven Network, which will be out sometime next year. I'm sure they'll run lots of nauseating ads for it during the tennis. Mm-hmm. Make everyone sick of it before it goes to air. A Place to Call Home, it's catchingly titled.
And what character are you playing, Nones?
I play Elizabeth Bly. And Elizabeth is a wealthy matriarch, widow, very large fish in a very small pond, who lives in country New South Wales, set in the 50s. And she has lots of recalcitrant family members who cause her nothing but grief.
Oh, does that feel familiar?
Yes. Funny you should say that.
Yes. Oh, look, thank you so much for joining us. We have a great
pleasure.
Show tonight. We have our first guest tonight is a wonderful woman called Jane Gilmore, who is the editor and publisher of a wonderful indie mag called The King's Tribune. And I stumbled across The Tribune many months ago and found that they're publishing fantastic conversations around all issues relating to same-sex, marriage, equality, relationships. Fantastic lady. So we're going to chat to her very shortly.
A newspaper worth reading, in fact.
It really is. You can, and Jane's going to walk us through how people can find it. We'll also be talking to one of the contributors from that magazine. His name is Andrew, and he's a criminal lawyer up in Sydney, and he's a writer.
And a Christian.
And he's staunchly opposed to all things ACL, which is the Australian Christian Lobby. So we're going to chat to him as well. And then we're going to play some wonderful audio from a few famous folk that will help sort of round out a show that's got religion and family as its broader theme today.
Yes, we're going to have another actress giving
her
bit.
We will indeed.
Sally Field.
We will indeed. So, it's quite a tidy little show.
This is the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9. You're listening to Salt and Pepper with Serena and Pete. It must be Tuesday.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9, idiot.
I do love a bit of Ethel. Isn't she fabulous? A tweet's just come in, and it's actually for Noni.
Oh.
And it's from Paul in Sydney, and he says that he's a preschooler. He's not a preschooler.
He should be in bed, if that's the case.
Well, he said, as a preschool teacher, I just wanted to shower Noni in admiration for her lovely book that has the really big swear word in it, which is Go the to Sleep.
I wish it was my book. It sold squillions.
I know, but you owned it.
Well, yes.
You know, you owned the performance, you know. You did the Noni version. It was fantastic.
Thank you, Paul. That's
Look,
very sweet.
It is a lovely text and message from Paul, and we do thank him for taking the time to send that in. Look, we do have the lovely Jane Gilmore, the editor of The Tribune here. Jane has trained as an accountant. She works as a consultant and has absolutely no media experience at all. She's very self-deprecating. So she decided
that's actually true.
That makes her the perfect person to attempt to start a new magazine in the current media environment. No one had any idea what they were doing. And, she wasn't sure that anybody would be that stupid. And she joins us live in the studio tonight. Welcome, Jane Gilmore.
Thank you, Serena.
Look, lovely to have you here. I just discovered the King's Tribune today when I knew that I was going to be coming in, and Serena said this is what it's about. And I love it.
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful. I mean, for finally something, as I just said to Serena, something that is actually interesting to read, that doesn't make my hair curl in rage, full of interesting articles by really erudite people who know what they're talking about and who are very fair and balanced and smart.
I think most of that really does come because we don't have any media experience. So we were just putting together things that we're putting together as readers rather than as professional media people. And we are, that I know of, the only magazine in our space that doesn't have any advertising and doesn't get any Arts Council funding or government funding. So we are only answerable to the readers. So it's the only way we can keep going is to find things that people find interesting, not worthy or appropriate, just interesting.
So that's how did you start it?
It started in a bar. There was possibly a drink taken at the time. There was an air guitar competition, and Justin won the air guitar competition. And after many celebratory pints, somebody said, we should write this up and turn it into an article. And then we did, and no one would publish it, so we published it ourselves, and it became just a newsletter in the bar. And then from there, we took it out to Elwood and St Kilda and turned it into a little local magazine. And then the internet hit, and it went all over the world. We've got subscribers in Czechoslovakia. It's awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
That's terribly glamorous. Look, you know, I've looked at some of the stuff that you've done, Jane, and it just seems to me that you're not afraid to publish conversations that other people won't. So, I mean, I'm a gay woman, and I latched onto the Tribune because you've got wonderful people like Helen Razor writing for you.
Oh, I love Helen.
You know, Helen is just, she's not afraid to say what she thinks. And what I love about the Tribune, and I'd like you to share this with the listeners, is your commitment to discussing anything that relates to same-sex attracted people. Tell us some of the articles that you've published and why.
The most recent one was one we did by Beck Shore, which was brilliant, and I published that because I read a lot of blogs looking for writers. They're surprisingly thin on the ground. And I found an article that she'd written about what it was like growing up as a lesbian and trying to find pop culture things that she could relate to. You know, you're watching TV and two people are kissing and you're looking at it going, no, that's
that just
not
doesn't
right.
resonate for me. I read that article by Beck and it's a wonderful description.
Yeah, it is. And because I'm always looking for the two criteria really that I only have for articles is it interesting and is it well written? And her blog was both of those things. So I got in touch with her and said, hey, I haven't seen this one written up before. Can you write an article about it for me? And the most popular one we've ever published about any gay issue was the one that Andrew wrote, and he's a straight Christian. And it was just saying the ACL does not speak for me, and he was really quite offended by the fact that Jim Wallace pretends to speak for every Christian in Australia. And so he got in touch with me and said, do you want that as an article? And I said, hell yes, I do.
He'll be a guest later on in the hour. I also read a terrific article, I can't remember who wrote it today, by a gay woman saying that she does not want to be married.
Yes, Sue Ann Post, who actually said
it
that
was very
that
funny.
The queer community should get together and rescue their straight brothers and sisters from the bonds of matrimony.
That's fabulous, isn't it? And that's what I love, because I'm a great proponent of the language of equality, coming back to the word equality and moving away from marriage, because I think when you strive for equality across the board, that naturally encompasses marriage and a whole range of other rights that we are entitled to. I'm interested to hear a bit more about Helen Razor, because Helen doesn't buy into the dogma of branding her sexuality.
No, and I completely agree with her. It would never occur to me to think about the romantic relationships of any of my writers. How is that ever my business? If I was trying to get something published and somebody was asking about my personal relationships, I'd be furious. So I completely think Helen's right. You judge people's ability as a writer on what they write about, whether it's interesting and whether they write about it well. And Helen writes beautifully and writes about very interesting things, and that's everything that she is. But how she identifies sexually is only a part of that. She's also a football fan and a feminist and a nutcase and a radio presenter and all these things that make her wonderful.
Well, I've always said, one of the first conversations I ever had with Noni was, I said to her, one of the least interesting things you'll ever know about me is the fact that I'm gay. And I stand by that. I think that people like Helen Razor bring that conversation into the King's Tribune space, and out goes that information, and people can just read, you know, what she's saying when she removes the sexuality from the conversation and she brings it down to human.
Yes.
The human.
And it's balanced. It's not saying, you know, you should think one way or another way. It's just saying, here's some information that I think's worth sharing. I mean, yes, you're right. It is the least interesting thing about you. There are some other things vying for that position. No, not at all.
Noni's relying on me for a lift home tonight.
That's right. I'm relying on you to get me through this hour, Pet. Never mind a lift home. The bus will be looking good. So, Jane, do you do this all yourself?
Not entirely. We have a girl who helped me with the layout. She's now got a full-time job and is only sort of helping out a bit at the end, but she set up the template and taught me how to do the layout because, again, no media experience before then. I had no idea. Our very first issue was a double-sided A4 page, and I did it in Microsoft Word and printed it at the local office works. So we've come a long way since then. Justin, who's the deputy editor, has also helps a lot, but I'm very lucky that I have a very flexible job that earns me enough money to pay the rent and kick in for the bits that the Tribune subscribers don't manage. So my time is very flexible. But, yeah, all the rest of it I do myself, and I love it.
Why the title King's Tribune?
Because the bar that in which we were drinking when we came up with the idea is they're called the King of Tonga.
Uh-huh. It's a really snazzy little pub in Elwood, and we visited it recently with Jane to check out, you know, where it all began. And it's humble, but it's very quirky, a very quirky little space.
It's a fabulous place. I've spent a little bit too much time in there.
Look, I don't think that's a bad thing. Tell me, how do you come across your writers? Tell us a bit more about Ben Pobje and Joe Thornley, I think, writes for you.
Passionately devoted to my writers, partly because they're so difficult to find. You would think that finding content would be the easiest thing because everybody's got a blog, but finding really good, interesting content is incredibly difficult. Ben Pobje was the first professional writer I ever commissioned, and I was so nervous when I emailed him, and he was so lovely wonderful.
He's gorgeous.
The whole way through, he knows that we're struggling, and he's waited weeks, sometimes occasionally months, for me to pay his invoices, and he always just keeps going with us. He's been so supportive, and I'm so grateful to him. Joe and Helen, I was thrilled when she lost her gig with FHM because that was when I jumped in and went, right, mine. so that was just by that stage, it was all getting in contact with people on Twitter. That was how I found all the rest of them. Ben kind of gave us the lift up into that world, and from there, pretty much every time I've got in contact with somebody, I don't think I've ever had anybody just refuse outright. I've had people say I'm too busy or I haven't got time. I haven't got anything interesting to say at the moment. I've got to finish this book. But I've never had anyone turn me down.
Do you want people to submit articles to
you? Oh, we get a lot of unsolicited pieces. And it's really awful because I would like to be able to reply to all of them, and they all want feedback, and I understand that. But
you're not an editor.
I would get
other people's writing in
that
sense.
Get at least a dozen a week. And with doing most of the magazine myself, plus working, plus trying to run a family. And
you've got a bit on.
Yes, yes. I do.
So, Jane, tell us, what's your goal for the future of the Tribune? I know that you're doing a little bit of crowdsourcing funding initiative at the moment. It'd be great if you could tell people how they can find you. And more importantly, what is the goal for the Tribune at the moment?
At the moment, it's just to get it on sound financial footing. We have enough subscribers now that I can pay printing costs and writers' costs. So once I get to... the goal is always to get to that so it at least pays for itself. We had to borrow a fair bit of money to get here, and we've got to pay all that back by the end of the year. So we're now in a very awkward position of I've got to choose. Either the debt's got to go or the Tribune's got to go because I can't do both of them. So we started doing crowdsourcing. Really panicking about this. What do I do? And somebody said, crowdsourcing, try it.
What is crowdsourcing for people who are listening that don't know what that is?
It's basically panhandling on the internet. You put your thing out and you say, this is what I want to do. Does anybody like it, want to help me? And people contribute as much or as little as they can. And Serena picked it up on Twitter and came out so generously and did the video for us. So the video skills are not mine. and we put it up and had an amazing response. It actually made me cry. By the second night, it was just flooding in, and I was overwhelmed by the response.
Well, there's a need for what you're doing. There's a really strong need for what you're doing. How can people find you?
We're on the internet, which is just www.kingstribune.com, and the crowdsourcing is Indiegogo, IndieGogo.com/KingsTribune.
Say that again. Because they're just reaching for their pencils, you see.
We do have the link on our website, but it's indie, or one word, .com/KingsTribune.
Wow. Okay. So from here, if people wanted to subscribe, what do they need to do?
All the subscription options are on our website, which is kingstribune.com, and there's a big subscribe button. As many different places as I could put it. And
it's pretty cheap. Tell us the prices, because I'm surprised how cheap it is. Because you get an online subscription, but you also get a hard copy.
We do an online only, which is $5 a month. The most people subscribe for about 3 months because it's not a huge commitment. It's $25 for 3 months, and it's $90 for a year, and there's a couple of other options in between. Because the thing that I've always found, I subscribe to a number of magazines and online things, and the ones that want you to subscribe for 12 months, and it can be a big chunk out of, you know, when you're struggling, $100 can be a big chunk out of one pay. So we sort of tried to do as many options as we could to fit everybody.
It seems like you publish with heart, you publish with integrity, and yep, that's creating a debt for you. So the whole focus of this campaign and the Kickstarter campaigning and getting some funds in, if you get this over the line, what do subscribers get in January, for instance?
If we can get it over the line, we're going to do a huge issue, summer reading issue for January, and also partly inspired by your generosity with doing the video for us, I thought we have to give something back. So we're doing a short story competition for unpublished writers, and depending on how many we get, we're going to publish at least one, maybe two or three entries from that, just to try and give some new writers a bit of airtime. And that will be a sort of as big as we can possibly make it, depending on how much funds we get. The more funds we get, the bigger it goes. Everything will go into paying the writers.
And how can people find you on Twitter?
Just at kingstribune.com.
Okay.
Is it monthly?
Yes.
Does it come out monthly?
Yep.
So how do you decide on the balance? What are you looking for in each issue?
It's very hit and miss, and because it's all being done on the fly, it often gets down to, as we are now, 3 days past deadline, and I'm still chasing a few other writers and thinking, okay, well, what's coming in? Hang on, I was going to write about hard drugs, or maybe I need to change it up a bit. So usually I'll make the balance on people I know can write quickly. So if we've had a lot of really serious articles, I might go back to, well, Ben's always funny, but I might go back to Ben and say, look, I don't want anything serious from you this month. We need to sort of balance it out.
You could do some heavy stuff as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I really urge everybody to get behind the King's Tribune. It's absolutely wonderful, and I'm so pleased I discovered it today. It's a really, really great privilege to have something like this to read that is intelligent, thought-provoking, and doesn't underestimate my intelligence.
Well, I just think it's a wonderful addition to the media sphere. With everything that's going on in the media, this is something you can pick up and read, and every article gives you something different. And congratulations. I know that you're struggling to keep it afloat, and we'll do everything we can to help encourage people to support you, because you're so gay-friendly and you're having intelligent discussions around gay issues, and there's not enough of that for our community, so we do thank you.
Jane, just give us the website again.
KingsTribune.com. KingsTribune.com.
Beautiful. Jane Gilmore, thank you so much. Lovely to meet you.
You too. Thanks,
Jane. Jane.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Right. Let's have a kiki.
You're having a kiki with Serena and Pete here on Joy 94.9.
I want to have a kiki.
Dive, turn, work. Let's have a kiki.
We are going to serve.
And work.
And turn.
And honey.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. joy.org.au.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
What a lovely voice Alison Moyer has, and what a beautiful voice Paloma Faith has. That was from her New York album, Do You Want the Truth or Something Beautiful? It's quite a question, really, isn't it?
But it is an exquisite song and a really, really lovely album.
Mm. Now, our last guest, Jane Gilmore, referred to our next guest, Andrew Teat, who is a contributor to the King's Tribune. And he recently, in the last few months, wrote an article for the King's Tribune just wondering about the ACL, the Australian Christian Lobby's obsession with same-sex marriage. He is a Christian. He is a criminal defence lawyer from Sydney. He blogs about New South Wales politics. And this article was very interesting, so we thought we would follow up on it. Andrew, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening. Oh, we did that in tune, Nones.
We did. We're a bit of a double act.
Oh, look at us go.
Now, Andrew, in your recent article, you write that the ACL's focus on homosexual marriage, in your opinion, is disproportionate and puzzling. Could you elaborate on that?
I guess what I was trying to say is that it seems like there's almost an obsession, or certainly an enormous focus from the ACL on gay marriage. Now, they're entitled to speak about what they want to speak about, of course, but it seems that there's such a disproportionate focus on that when there's so many other, in my view, far more important issues that they can and should be speaking out about.
That reflect Christian values.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, such as what?
Well, the example I thought of earlier today, or remembered earlier today, was the cuts to foreign aid that were made recently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did have something to say about that, but it really got drowned out by the constant amount of information and press releases and interviews and whatever else they were doing about the gay marriage issue. Now, as I said, they're entitled to say what they want to say, but there's such a heavy focus on this one issue. It's disappointing that they don't look at what I think are far more important issues that they as Christians should be talking about.
Look, Andrew, I think you've raised a really interesting point. And my impression of the ACL, that is, if you remove Jim Wallace from the equation, you might have a fighting chance of having a balanced debate. But it seems that there is a fundamental sense of threat around all things homosexual when it comes to Jim Wallace. I think you're right in saying that there's this disproportional focus on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. And I guess I want to ask you, you know, is the ACL's relationship with their God that fragile that if we have the right to get married, that somehow that religion falls apart? I mean, can you clarify some of the thinking on
what
that?
What is the fear?
What is the fear? You know, what is that about?
I don't know, to be honest. My personal view is that I'm a favour of gay marriage. I think that if gay people want to get married, that's fantastic and good luck to them, and it really will have no direct effect on my personal life and my marriage. So I've no issue at all with gay people wanting to get married. Exactly why it is there's a focus on it, I don't know. Christians have in the past, for in many reasons, in many different contexts, had a heavy focus on sex generally. There's been quite fair criticism of Christians that they seem to care only about sex and nothing else. So maybe that's part of it. I don't think it's... I haven't got the impression people are worried that it will somehow affect their faith directly. I suppose some people see it as being a great moral issue that they need to fight, and they need to, for some reason, campaign against this. My view is that it's not. I don't think that it's anywhere near the most important issue Christians should be worried about. And if people do think that their faith is somehow threatened or affected by gay marriage, I'd be as interested as you to find out why they think that. It makes no sense to me.
Well, personally, I would suggest that perhaps they find a different God.
Maybe that's something they could do, I suppose. But it certainly isn't the God I understand, as I understand it.
Andrew, you sound like a relatively young man. Amongst your Christian peers, are there others who share your feelings about the Christian lobby, the Australian Christian lobby?
There's a really broad school of thought, I suppose. Some people, of course, agree. Some disagree. Some find politics and the ACL just generally tiresome. But there's a really broad spectrum of views that cover just about every possible permutation, but I'm certainly not alone in my views, I don't think, not amongst my immediate associates, as it were.
One of the things you raise in your article, another point, is that you feel like the Australian Christian lobby is pursuing what you see as a relentlessly conservative agenda,
yes,
as opposed to a Christian agenda. They're covering it with a Christian cloak, but it's actually a conservative agenda. Is that what really gets up your nose?
It's what gets up my nose is the idea that Jim Wallace and the ACL speak for all Christians. They don't. There's a very small proportion, or very small number of people who contribute to the ACL and are supporters when you compare that number of people who are regular churchgoers or would call themselves Christians. It's a very narrow spectrum. And it's my impression, at least, that when you look at the spectrum of Christians and where they stand on political issues, that the ACL is right up the one end. Now, that's fine. And as I said, they have the right to their own view. But I certainly do not believe that they speak for all or even a majority of Christians. And that's what really frustrates me, because I spend a lot of time on Twitter. That's where I came to know Jane from and where I first heard about the King's Tribune. And I hear people being very offended, and often rightly so, by the stuff the ACL is saying. And they then somehow quite reasonably tar all Christians with the same brush.
Mm.
I think you'd find if you chatted to many, many, many Christians across Sydney, they don't share those conservative views, and they don't believe that it's a Christian's job to go out and have this moral agenda to try and force on all people. Most Christians are very good people and very kind and generous and loving people, and I think many are and would be quite disappointed and shocked by the way the ACL carries on.
Well, certainly that's how I understand Christians should behave.
Mm.
Letting you is without sin cast the first stone.
And I think you've just sort of captured the essence of the way that most people should live their lives, regardless of religious affiliation.
Sure.
And you know, I think you've raised some wonderful points around the need for the separation of religion and state, for instance. Andrew, if people wanted to follow you on Twitter, where can they find you?
They can follow me as Mr. Teet. That's MRTIEDT. No one will remember that. But if you search for Mr. Teet, hopefully it'll pop up in due course. And I'm in the King's Tribune whenever Jane sees fit to publish my writings.
And, you know, you've got a strange little profile picture. How can people find that?
Jules from Pulp Fiction.
I thought it was a bit
very threatening at that point in time.
A bit of Samuel L. Jackson by the looks of it. Look, we'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. We've very much enjoyed chatting with you and getting a sense of, you know, the true essence of Christianity and how far removed it is from the platform that the ACL springs from in all matters relating to homosexuality. We've just been chatting to Andrew Teed.
Thanks for speaking up, Andrew.
We appreciate your time, mate.
No problem.
Okay, we're going to go to some messages now, Knowns.
Cool.
Lovely. You're listening to Serena and Pete on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation.
G'day, I'm Barry Bissell, and you're listening to Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, the mighty Joy 94.9.
You certainly are listening to the mighty Joy 94.9. It's 42 minutes past 7. I don't know what is going on. My technical panel man, Matt, has just given me evils. I should be saying it's 18 minutes to 8. He's now nodding. I've just avoided being slapped. We've just got a message in from a wonderful listener who doesn't actually give us... Oh, Jacob Holman. Jacob has said, love your discussion about the ACL, and he's actually done an analysis for the ACL's total output and put it together in a graph, which gives an illustration of the depth of the ACL's obsession with gay people, which comes at the expense of the things that Christ would have been concerned with. Great call. Mm. Jacob, our shout-out to you is to maybe pop that into an email to saltandpepper@joy.org.au so we can share that on Twitter, because we'd love to spread that love, and we do appreciate you sending that in.
It's really interesting. You remember the Q&A recently? I think it was Archbishop Peter Jensen was mm-hmm. on, and I thought that the absolute nerve. He's running, leading a church that was founded by a man who just kept divorcing women, Henry VIII. Mm. And yet he's talking about the sanctity of heterosexual marriage as though it's, you know, something that has always been there since time immemorial. It's total garbage.
Well, interestingly, I read an article recently, Knowns, that says the Anglican Church was only... One of the reasons why it was created was to create divorce.
Mm.
So...
That's right.
It's, you know,
the Pope wouldn't give Henry VIII the divorce.
So the Anglican Church sprung up.
Yep.
And so they probably, I would have thought that they represent the disposability of heterosexual marriage. What do you reckon? Am I drawing a long bow there?
Look, from you, Serena, it's not a long bow, darling. It couldn't be possible that you would draw a long bow. Look, I just
think Noni,
the long bow that's being drawn is trying to pretend that it's, you know, absolutely the way it has to be. That only heterosexuals can marry.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit later, or shortly actually, we're going to play some audio from Stephen Fry. Look, the very big news out of America this week, and we're just going to do it, we're going to cherry pick a few news items, and one is that the gorgeous Sally Field, who a lot of people of our vintage would know her as the Flying Nun, others will know her from Steel Magnolias, and more recently from Brothers and Sisters.
Wonderful show.
It's an exquisite piece of writing. Mm. She has a gay son, and he's a 25-year-old young man called Sam, and she's just been awarded a Human Rights Campaign Ally for Equality Award. This is what she had to say about gay parenting and the journey of gay young people.
I've never talked about this before. It's Sam's business and not mine to talk about. But I'm here tonight for two reasons. There are so many children who struggle to understand and embrace their sexuality in families who do not welcome them, with parents that somehow find it acceptable to shut them out of their hearts and their homes. And that I find unacceptable. There comes a time when parents must listen and learn from these people they brought into the world, their children. And these children have something important to teach their parents. I urge them to listen. And then I'm here to thank you. Yes, to thank you for this award, but more than that, I want to thank all of you out there who have been brave enough to walk point and force change, to fight for the basic human rights that my son and my son's generations and the generations to follow will so greatly benefit from. He doesn't have to twist himself into a pretzel and pretend to be somebody he isn't, denying important parts of who he is. He doesn't have to give up his dreams of the future. He doesn't have to feel ashamed. You all have fought for him as surely as if you were one of his parents. You've changed and are changing the lives of little boys and girls who realize somewhere along the way they're just different from their other brothers and sisters. And so the fuck what?
Joy 94.9.
Bit of an owie there from Sally at the end there. I probably should have announced that there was going to be the F-bomb dropped, which normally you would do, actually. You've been known to drop the odd.
I don't know what you mean. It did get the biggest applause of the whole speech, that final line. And if you want to hear that speech in its entirety, I do urge you to look it up. It's the HRC's Ally for Equality Award. Her son gives rather a lengthy introduction, which is very sweet, and gives a kind of colour of what Sally is like as a mum. And he said, "Being gay was just one more thing she loved about me." He notes that her new apartment, she's just bought an apartment in West Village, it's just a 10-minute walk from his own, and he said, "She couldn't be more supportive of me. If anything, I wish she was a little less supportive of me." But aww, she's a wonderful role model for parents.
Isn't she just, though?
Everywhere, and I just congratulate her on her wonderful, wonderful attitude and her gorgeous, gorgeous feelings about all this. It's brilliant.
What I really like hearing as a gay woman, I guess, is her acknowledgement of the journey and the privacy of that journey and standing beside him whilst he walked that, you know, difficult path and just embracing him. I just think that's really exquisite. And we dragged this audio from Huffington Post Gay.
Yeah.
So it's the Huff Post Gay section, and it's a really lovely piece of audio.
There's one lovely bit in it too. Her two older sons, who are quite a lot older than Sam, she wanted to talk to Sam about what she felt was, you know, becoming evident. And they said, "No, Mum, he's got to decide. He's got to work it out for himself." So she had to bite her tongue rather than contextualise his feelings.
It's very precious. I mean, it's a bit like
beautiful.
It's a bit like when my mum calls me and I know the conversation's going to be hilarious when she goes, "Hello, darling, you know how you're a gay?" Like, "Yes, Mum." And then she'll launch into, "Well, I've got a question." You know, there's this ongoing wanting to know and wanting to share.
To engage
and,
with you.
And to engage and to, you know, she says, I understand you, you know, you're born that way. And my dad sends me gay news. And it's lovely when they get to that point. And I love that she talked about Sam's journey, but she's clearly gone on her own journey.
Absolutely. And children are so precious, and they want to be in your lives, you know, for such a short time. And anything you can do as a parent to engage with your child, gosh, you should do it.
Absolutely. Wise words, Nones. Look, equally wise is openly gay British actor, writer, comedian, intellectual Stephen Fry.
Oh, yes.
He's recently launched an attack on opponents of same-sex marriage by declaring that there are 260 species of animal which display gay tendencies, but only one that is homophobic.
Who would
humans.
That be?
Humans. Oh, my gosh.
Humans.
First name, Tony. So Fry's made a shout-out video for the Out for Marriage campaign. It's been launched in the UK, but it's generating some heat locally as well. We're going to play that audio now. It does go for about 4 minutes, but every bit of it's gold, so we're going to run the entirety of it, so hang in there with it.
Hello. Actually, I'd like most of all to address people who are of a religious turn of mind. Maybe well known that I'm not, but I've always respected the individual's right to their own religion, and I have no quarrel with anybody pious and devout in their faith. And the most important thing for me is that a misconception be cleared up, that equal rights for gay marriage are not about forcing priests or clerics of any religion to marry people in their churches if they don't want to. It's not about that. And those who are against gay marriage are somehow spreading this disinformation that we're going to say, you, Reverend so-and-so, are forced to hold this gay marriage in your church. It's not true. The people who run churches or synagogues or mosques are not forced to marry previously divorced people. for example, it's a very good analogy, it's entirely up to them if it goes against their faith. But what's really important is that there are other faiths, like Quakers, like Congregationalists and Unitarians and the Liberal Reform part of the Jewish faith, who are actually extremely keen that they feel that their communion won't be complete unless it includes gay marriage, because they believe in social justice and equality too. And it's wrong in a country like ours, which has in fact an established church. We're not a secular society. We have an established church. Just because their more extreme end is screeching with outrage at the idea of this, that we're not allowed to be married. It's unfair on plenty of other religious people, and it's also misrepresenting what we require, which is only the same as anybody else, and that's to express our love in the fullest possible way of commitment. It used to be we were regarded as villains because we were so bohemian and outrageous, and we eschewed family values, but we're not. We're human beings like everybody else, and we believe first and foremost in love. So that's the first thing I'd say, really. And the other thing I'd say is gosh, Britain in particular hasn't the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games and this extraordinary summer, hasn't it shown that in fact we are a really open, generous, tolerant society, diverse, full of love, and that patriotism and pride in the Union Jack is not something for, you know, hideous National Front types or British, you know, Union of Fascist types. It's for all of us. And what we celebrate is our tolerance, our openness, the multiplicity of things it means to be British, to be quirky, to be eccentric, to be charming and funny and odd, and certainly not to be down on other people who love each other, who are no threat to anybody else. So I would urge you, if you have been sort of jiggling in your mind as to whether or not you think it's a right or wrong thing, my third point is that of an animal lover. At least 260 species of animal have been noted exhibiting homosexual behaviour, but only one species of animal ever, so far as we know, and I'd be fascinated if anyone can prove me wrong, has exhibited homophobic behaviour, and that's the human being. So ask yourself, which is really natural? Think about it. Go with your heart. Thank you.
Joy 94.9.
Go with your heart.
Yes, it's lovely. I mean, he's just saying tolerance. You know, why shouldn't we all be allowed to be charming and funny and odd in our own ways? Yep. And yet it seems like society wants us to not be charming.
Oh, we can, but we just don't want to be equally charming.
No, and it doesn't want you to be funny or odd. You just have to toe a line and be abusive and nasty and bigoted.
And misogynistic.
And misogynistic.
Look, I've probably had more than a gutful of some of the misogyny that's flying around currently, and we're seeing, you know, just rampant examples of that in the media. I think Stephen's encapsulated it beautifully, and what I loved is that, you know, when you're gay, you don't eschew family. Do you know what I mean? You know, family takes on a different meaning.
Well, the family of humanity,
exactly.
For goodness sake.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely that those two people, Sally Field and Stephen Fry, gave us some positive messages this week. That's great.
You're listening to Serena and Pete on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Look, we need to announce the next show that's coming in, which is the Spirit Lounge, informally known as the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. I think it's about all things religion and humanity and Christianity and, you know.
It'll segue nicely from our show tonight.
Well, because we did cover Christianity. We covered fantastic editorial decisions and wonderful publishing from Jane Gilmore.
Mm.
We looked at family values with Sally Field, the amazing Stephen Fry. It's a bit of a glad bag today.
Well, I've been very grateful to have been asked to do this because it introduced me to the King's Tribune,
mm-hmm.
which is a wonderful publication, and I do urge you to have a look at it because I think anyone listening will really find it very informative and just a great read by some of our best writers.
And you know what's really lovely about the Tribune is that if you've only got a couple of shekels a week, you know, it's less than a couple of dollars a week to subscribe just online.
Mm.
Or you can shell out $25 for 3 months and you get this wonderful publication in the mail, and it's just a great read, and you can read it over and over again, and it is same-sex friendly, and that's the reason why we brought Jane in tonight.
And there's no Andrew Bolt.
There's no Andrew Bolt. There's no Tony Abbott. There's no Alan Jones. There's no misogyny. It's just sound editorial and balanced debate.
Smart.
Smart.
Very smart.
And we're going to sign off and say goodnight and thank you for listening to Salt and Pepper. Noni, thank you for joining me tonight.
My
I do appreciate
pleasure.
It. It's beautiful to have you back in the station.
Lovely to be here, and thanks to our wonderful operator, Matt.
We love Matt to bits. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.